dirt. Good evening.
Good evening.
One of the most damaging things to the Lord's church today is a lack of growth. I'm not specifically talking about numerical growth, although that is a result of the growth that I am talking about. The growth I'm talking about is spiritual growth. When we fail to grow spiritually, we will ultimately fail altogether. Amen. You think about this for a moment. We have the cradle roll class and we get the babies in there as soon as possible. And they learn how to do little crafts and they make little pictures and they go through the Bible stories and they learn about the Bible stories. They get to a certain age, we move them to another class and we teach them about the Bible. And then we go to another class and they graduate and they move over to the elementary class and the junior high class and the high school class. And then they grow up and they sit in the adult class and they scratch their heads and they will not make a comment or ask a question or make a statement because they don't know enough to even participate in a Bible class. Even though they've been going to school over and over and over and over all their lives, pretty much, and they're still like, I don't know. We're failing to grow spiritually because we're going through the motions and we're not really doing much. I've been to congregations where there was a participation, and you're like, oh my, these people know a lot of Bible. I'll never forget, and I may have used this illustration before, but we went to the Roanoke congregation near Dallas when the kids were young. Brittany was probably in the 7th or 8th grade, and we got there, and similar to this, there's a door right here with a hallway that leads down to the classes, and there's classrooms. They're not in a basement, but they're down this hallway, and all the kids go, and this guy comes and says, what grade are you in? Well, I'm in 7th, or I'm in 9th. Okay, y'all come with me. You're going to go be here. And so this guy takes Brittany and Dustin to their classes, and they go and go to their classes. Afterwards, they come up, and they come and sit down by us, and they're smiling, and they're happy. And this man comes, and he says, let me tell you something. He said, your kids are amazing. He said, oh, goodness. They answered questions that I didn't know. They made statements. I'm like, I don't know if that's true or not. I don't even know that. They know more than I do about the Bible. Man, I was proud. I said, what are y'all studying? And he said, Genesis. The kids had been studying for Bible Bowl for the last 6 weeks, and it was Genesis. They had 300 questions that they were pounding and pounding and pounding. So they get down in this class, and they're like, this is a breeze, man. We know this stuff. It was really, really good. If you haven't put your kids in Bible Bowl, make sure they get involved. They learn a lot there. But we find that as Christians, we're reminded over and over that we need to grow to a point of spiritual maturity. Many times we've watched congregations who once were strong, they shrivel up and they die on the vine, and we conjure up all of these reasons why. Maybe they died for this reason. Maybe they died for that reason. Maybe everybody moved away. Maybe this. Maybe, maybe, maybe. Nope. Here's what happened. Those who were spiritually strong died. Those who came up in their stead, they're adults and they're involved, but they're not spiritually strong. They're weak. They can't even follow the gospel. It's a sad situation. They can't eat. They're adults physically, but spiritually, they're babies who were unable to handle the simple task of Christian development, much less teach it to others. That's a recipe for failure. On an individual basis, I want to ask you this question. Where do you think that you are spiritually? Do you believe that you still have a lot of growing to do? Do you believe you have some growing to do? Do you believe that you have very little growing to do? Or do you believe that you are spiritually mature and you have no room for growth? I seriously doubt that anybody thinks that, that last one. But it really doesn't matter what we think. What really matters is where we are spiritually. I know that for some, they don't believe it is necessary to learn any more than they currently know about the Bible. I don't need to learn anymore. I'm good. I got this. What good is it for me anyway? That's a bad attitude, and it's going to get you in a bad place. And it will. It happens all the time. When you think, well, I love the church. I love the Lord. I want to be with the Lord. 10 years from now, you're not even close. You don't even go to worship. You're not even you don't even believe in God, and you question God because of that kind of attitude. So Others believe that they will just keep coming to church, let the chips fall where they may. I'll just keep sitting in. I'll just keep listening to sermons. Well, if I haven't grown spiritually in 40 years, it's your fault, preacher, for not feeding me more. It's your fault, preacher, because you just didn't do. I mean, I was here all the time. What were you doing? In other words, I'm not going to study. I'm not going to do anything to promote spiritual growth. I'm just going to keep on doing what I'm doing. If spiritual growth comes, it comes. And if it doesn't, well, it's no sweat off my back. We don't think about that, about our health. We don't think about that of our, well, we do about our health sometimes. We don't think about that of our finances. What are we doing? What are you doing? Oh, I just can't pay my bills. Well, what are you working? I don't know. Have you got a job? I don't know. Are you planning on? Not really. Really? I don't feel sorry for you. This is poor logic. In fact, it is as much a command to grow spiritually as it is to be baptized. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 16 through 18 says, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. Those that are unlearned and unstable wrestle with these ideas, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. You ever heard somebody argue about something so silly? What kind of oil did they use in their lamps? It doesn't matter. You missed the whole point. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. It says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. You ever think about this? You see a congregation and you go in, you see it, they hire this preacher, and the next thing you know, that congregation just goes way off the deep end and they just fall apart. Oh, that preacher, he destroyed that congregation. You see what he did to them? He's not the one that did it. It was that they were too weak to stand up to his false doctrine. They were too weak to point it out to him, and so he just kept on and kept on, and he filled the congregation with false doctrine. They ate it up and they went with it. It happens all the time. We got to make sure that we're sound enough that I get questioned from the pulpit. Stephen gets questioned from the pulpit. Steve Patterson gets questioned from the pulpit. Anybody that steps up in this pulpit, you should watch everything that they say. That's not right, brother. You're teaching false doctrine. I don't think that you've got a grip on that scripture. We're not even strong enough to do that. Well, Liz, I don't know if it's right or wrong. You teenagers, how strong are you spiritually? You've been in Bible class since right there, since you were a baby, couldn't even wipe your own bottom, and you should be strong enough to call out a preacher when he preaches something false. Amen. Personal spiritual growth is very similar to evangelism. If we do it, we do it. If we don't, we have no one else to blame but ourselves. We'll fall into that. We're not growing. I can remember trying to get Charlie to go to EBS classes. I'm just too busy. I don't have time. I'm going to go one of these days. He started going. He started growing. He liked it. Now he can tell you about how much that class has grown since he started going. He started going. We had 15 people on a good night. On a good night, we had 15 people. Many of you in here have been to that class. Last semester, we averaged 53 people on a Thursday night. People that want to grow spiritually. People that are growing spiritually. I can remember there was a guy named Chris. He'd sit in that class. He'd come in there. He didn't say nothing. He'd just sit there. He's studying his Bible at home. He's studying his Bible with the congregation. He's coming to classes. Now you know what? Now he's teaching the class. Charlie Brown teaching the class. A lot of the people that originally sat in that class are now teachers in that class. I can remember sitting in that class myself. How can I remember? We used to have to memorize verses for that. I can't memorize a verse. I didn't get it done. I studied and studied. I still can't recite that verse. Get called out. If you're failing to grow, it could be a sign of a lack of faith. Perhaps we could all strengthen our faith. We all have room for growth when it comes to strengthening our faith. No matter how strong it is, spiritual growth will not come if we are not walking worthily of God, or if we're not trying to live up to the precepts of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. It says, as ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you into his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. We got to receive the word of God as the word of God. We can't just look at it and say, well, you know, it's pretty good stuff, but I don't know. I mean, whatever. As long as the Bible is just a book of good suggestions to us, we will never grow spiritually. We have to understand it and accept it as the written word of God, the verbally breathed inspiration of God. We must embrace the fact that it is literally God-breathed inspiration. That is God's word. We talked about this in our class this morning. God spoke those things to Moses. Moses spoke to the people. It's no different to us today. God spoke to the prophets. They wrote it down. That's for us. That's God speaking to us. Thursday evening, we had a class, or we had a meeting of the teachers of the Enhanced Biblical Studies class. I think 20 people showed up. We generally have 20 teachers. A lot of the teachers were not present, so some people had family members to make up the numbers. But we had about 20 people present. And the way they sat us, we had a table that came out like this, and it turned, and then the table that went down this way. So I was sitting kind of right at that V, and so Mel was sitting beside me. And so we had people this way, and we had people this way. And Mel got up and moved to the other side of the table. I had requested that he would be wherever I was. Whoever got there first, save a spot for the other one, because when I'm down here and he's down there, it makes it very difficult to coordinate everything since we are the main coordinators. So we were there together and we were trying to work, and sometimes people would be talking, and that's why we did that, and that's why I suggested that, because if they're busy talking about the football game or whatever, that's fine. I don't care, because I can still conduct the business that we are here to conduct. And so we were working through that, and Mel wanted to talk to one of the instructors, one of the teachers that was at the other end of the table, and he said, "Hey, can you come down here for a minute?" And the guy kind of smiled and just like, and he said, maybe he didn't hear me. And he said it again, "Hey, can you come down here for me?" He acknowledged that he heard him. "Can you come down here?" And he's like, he just ignored him. He said, can you come here? I need to talk to you for a minute. No. I thought it was extremely rude that Mel is asking this man to come here because he's so far down at the other end of the table. We can't talk. We've actually threatened to have these meetings somewhere else where we could all sit and hear each other because it's so distracting there. But it's become such a tradition, we keep doing it. This man totally ignored Mel and wouldn't come down. I thought it was more than a little rude, but when you think about it, how many times do we do the exact same thing to God? Can you imagine God saying, "Wyatt, Wyatt, can you listen to me? Wyatt, I'm talking to you." Or Bo, or Duke, or Philip, or Larry, Charlie. Imagine God calling your name out, and you're like, "Whatever. I need to talk to you." What about Samuel? Samuel. "Here am I, Lord." God is calling out to us every single day. He's given us a standard to go by, and He wants us to grow. If we have the attitude of complacency, what do you suppose God is going to say when comes to judgment day? "Didn't you hear me? Weren't you listening?" How many times have you said that to your kids? "Weren't you listening to me? Or are you listening to me? I'm sorry, I wasn't listening." Paul had a problem with a congregation at Corinth. They were, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, they were alive and well, they just weren't growing. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as carnal, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it." He says, "I fed you milk and not meat because you weren't able to bear the meat, you weren't able to handle it. I didn't give you the full force word of God because you weren't able to handle it." One of the hardest things for a preacher to do is stand up here and preach a sermon that's not going to run people off. Because there are certain things that the Bible teaches that are exactly plain, and we say, well, if he preaches that, people are going to leave. But he has to preach it because it's the word of God. So what a preacher has to do is he's make the discernment. How much meat are they willing to take, and how much can they digest? Because I can't give them more than they can digest. Because some of the things that you give them, that's going to be like, "We're not able to handle that. We're not grown enough." So we want to grow spiritually to where there's nothing in the Bible that offends us. There's nothing in the Bible that we can hear that's not going to make us say, I don't like the way he preaches. He's stepping on my toes. I'm not coming back. I don't like that. Who does he think he is teaching that? That's the truth. The plain and simple. Well, I can't help it. I had some mistakes in my life. Yeah, sure, exactly. But let's follow the Word of God and do what God says.
Amen.
I have fed you with milk and not with meat because before you were not able to bear it. Neither yet are you now able. He's telling them, neither yet are you now able to bear it. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? He says, you're not even spiritual. You're still arguing and bickering with one another. That's a true sign that you haven't grown spiritually. We find ourselves doing the same thing. Have we grown spiritually? For while one saith, I am of Paul and I of Apollos, are you not carnal? I've always looked at that passage right there, and I thought, well, they had a problem. They were so busy bragging about who they knew physically that they were leaving out the spiritual things, and that's the truth, and that's what he says here. But it, the whole reason of it is because they failed to grow spiritually. So we're so focused on getting the right place and sitting in the right place and being close to the right people that they failed to grow spiritually. Their minds were of worldly things and not of spiritual things. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 7. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 7. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. He's telling us if our mind is stuck on those things of the world, if we don't care to grow from the cradle roll to the high school class to the adult, if we don't care to grow, then we're going to burn. We're carnally minded. That's death. To be carnally minded is death. If you have the attitude of the world, look, I don't care. I don't care. It don't matter. It's no big deal. What does it help? What difference does it make? One way or the other. I'm not going to speak up anyway. And I'm not calling people out. I ask a question in Bible class and everybody looks at me. And y'all have heard me say it before. Nobody knows this. Yeah, we all do. We just don't want to speak up. Sometimes that's okay. I understand not speaking up in class. I've been there. You sit in a class full of preachers and everybody wants to speak up. Go to the EBS class. Sometimes the classes get dragged down because people want to speak up. Sometimes it's not that they just have to say something. It's that they truly, genuinely want to learn. They want to know more. They want to learn from the teacher. They want to understand what's going on. They that are after the flesh mind the things of the flesh. I can tell you there are some things that I have a hard time not letting distract me. I get distracted very easily. I believe that attention deficit syndrome didn't start with my son's generation. It was here way back before when I was growing up. I have a hard time paying attention, especially when deer season comes around. Deer season comes around and I'm focused. I'm focused on deer hunting. I want to go and I want to hunt. And I get one day off a week. And my one day off a week is the only day I have to hunt. It is also the only day I have to do chores around the house. It's the only time I have to do honeydews. It's the only time I have to make appointments. It's the only time I have to go to the doctor. It's the only time I have for anything. So there are some times when I don't get to go. And the weather's bad. That doesn't work either. It's raining. I'm not going to go out there in the rain. I'm sorry, but this is the way it works. So I think about that. Something comes up, then I miss. You've all heard the phrase, Well, at the end of the day, this has replaced the phrase that I grew up with. And the phrase I grew up with was, well, when it's all said and done, has been replaced where at the end of the day. In other words, they both pretty much mean the same thing. After you live your life, it doesn't matter. If you never left your hometown, if you never made it past sixth grade, or if you became president of a multi-million-dollar company, none of it matters when standing before the judgment. At the end of the day, or when it's all said and done, nothing on this planet matters except for your relationship with God and your relationship with Christ and your spiritual growth. Consider this, the greatest golfer in the world, the greatest basketball player, the greatest football player, the greatest hunter, the greatest fisherman, the greatest race car driver, the greatest of anything you can imagine, whatever it is that you want to put in that place, they all have one thing in common. One thing in common. The greatest of everything, the greatest musician, the greatest everything, they all have one thing in common. They are all lost if they haven't obeyed the gospel. It doesn't matter what they've accomplished. Their bank account could be so much. I can remember Garth Brooks doing an interview one time. Says, I've made more money than my grandkids' grandkids could spend in their lifetimes. That's an arrogant statement. Maybe it was true. I don't know. What's even sadder is there are many who have obeyed the gospel but let salvation slip through their fingers and will spend an eternity in hell because they refuse to grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. They could be, I'm baptized and now I can just sit down and do nothing and just wait. And wait till the world ends and then I can go to heaven. Never having studied God's word, never having taught, never having done anything to promote the gospel. If your kid flunked out of fourth grade and had to do it over again, and then flunked again and had to do over again, and flunked again, and they push him through the fifth grade because they don't want him there, and then he flunked the fifth grade, and then he flunked again, and they push him through because he's getting too old, and then he's finally in the sixth grade, and he's 19 years old, and he's not growing any. At what point would you finally become concerned? At what point would you say, something ain't right here? He needs to grow. He needs to learn. He's not learning. Why? We want that. Every year, you kids that are in high school, junior high, elementary school, y'all all know what happens. Report cards. What are report cards for? To report to your parents your growth. To report to your parents that you're actually making headway. If you're still in the fourth grade and you're 19 years old, there is a problem. And it's probably you because you don't care to do any better. But even the kids, when they're in school, if they got a bad grade, it's not all about the parents. It's like, man, I feel dumb. I want to do better. What do I have to do? I need to grow spiritually. It sounds like a funny scenario, but people in the church are 100 times worse. I remember one time my wife had Dee's cousin. She had some, actually it was Charles' cousin, his own marriage side. But anyway, they had a member of the family that ran off and joined a cult, disappeared off the face of the planet. The mom, who was my father-in-law's sister, didn't see her daughter for many, many years. And then she would get a phone call. Mom, it's me. I just wanted to let you know I'm still alive. I got to go. Bye. Click. That's all she would get. Random phone call every so many years. Random phone call. She'd tell her maybe sometimes, I have two kids and these are their names, or I have a kid or whatever. And it's random. Well, she had this son. She was living in this cult. She had this son, and when he got to a certain age, he had a choice. He either joined the cult or he got out. She didn't want him there. She called her mom and said, can you take my son and take him in? Because I don't want him in this cult. Yes. So she took him in. This kid was 16 years old, 15 years old. When you reach a certain age, you have to get out. I think it was 15. He'd never been to school. So she goes and enrolls him in school. What grade do you think he's in? He's never been to school. They're 15-year-old, he should be a freshman in high school, but he doesn't know that. He doesn't know anything. I watched this kid as he came around. Like I said, he was a 15-year-old. I watched him fascinated with the little Tyke's toys and the Legos and stuff. He was like, never seen stuff like that. It was amazing to him. It was like a 3-year-old in a 15-year-old's body. He was like, and he wasn't stupid. He was a smart kid. His growth had been stunted by years and years and years of living on a farm and not learning anything. Just being there. That's sad that someone would do something like that to another human being. What's even sadder is we do it to our own selves when we fail to grow spiritually. We don't even look at our Bibles. I ain't got time for that right now. Where are you spiritually? Where are you physically? Where are you monetarily? Where are you economically? Where are you socially, economically? Spiritually, where are you? We look at that and we look at all the things in our lives and spirituality ranks way off sometimes. And that's a sad, sad situation. Any congregation should say, we're the strongest congregation for 5 counties or 10 counties or whatever. That would be a sad thing if there were that many counties around you that didn't have a strong congregation. But it would be a great testimony to the congregation that is strong. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. We had a new converts class downstairs, and we have it again. It's on Wednesday nights. We just started it over again a couple of weeks ago. And one of the goals of the class is this. When someone graduates from the class, I remember, let me back up. When we first started the class, there were two older ladies here that had just been baptized. They were cancer patients. They met each other at the cancer hospital, and they came and Stephen studied with them. They were both baptized and became members of the church here. And we had a new converts class, and they wouldn't come to it because they were old, and there were young people in there, and they didn't feel right, and they didn't learn, and they didn't grow. Because what was being taught in the adult class was over their heads. They needed the milk and not the meat, but they wouldn't come. But we have had adults that were in that class that were in their 20s and 30s and 40s, and they're in the class with teenagers and 15-year-olds and whatever. It's various age group. It just depends on who's converted because it's a new converts class. But one of the goals of the class is this. Over the past, I don't know how many years, prior to 2003, prior to when Stephen started here, if you were baptized, if you obeyed the gospel, you're baptized and you're 50 years old, Sunday morning you're going to be sitting in an adult Bible class. Wednesday night you're sitting in an adult Bible class. You jumped over first grade through 12th. You jumped over all of that and went straight to the adult class. You didn't learn all those things. Can you imagine somebody that, my wife's cousin, going straight to college when he had never been through school at all? So the goal of the class is this. When you graduate from that class, after you've been through the class that lasts pretty much a year, we can cover all the material in a year if we push really, really hard. Sometimes it takes 2 years. Some people wrap around. They come back in and they stay. Let's go through another semester. I want to make sure I get this because sometimes it goes slow. When they graduate, my goal is that when they come up here and they sit in the adult class, they know as much or more than everyone in this room. That's the goal. Some of you have sat in that class and we cover a lot of information. The point is we need to grow spiritually to the point that we want to grow spiritually. One of the greatest things that you can learn in any class is that you to want to grow more, to have the desire to grow more. As a growing Christian will devote him or herself to a study of sound doctrine, and this means that we need to love God's law enough that I want to get into it. Have you ever picked up a book and you, I may start reading this, I don't know, and then you read it and you can't put it down? You've heard that phrase before? Oh, I couldn't put it down. If you open the inside of the cover of the book and it has reviews from different people that have read the book and they wrote their reviews for the book, the guy sought them out. Stephen Patterson writes a book and he asked me and Charlie to read it and he asked Philip to read it and write me a review that I can put on the inside cover. Oh, this is a fascinating book. I opened it up and every page is just filled with information. I just loved it. I couldn't put it down. Right? A love for that book. I've had a few books like that. Once I started, I couldn't stop. It's like, man, this is great stuff. I was up till 3 a.m. reading that. That's the attitude we should have about our Bibles. Here it is. I can't wait to get home from work. I want to get into the Psalms. I can't wait to get home from work. I've been studying Matthew and it's been great. Jeremy and Heather's son Adley told me when he left, he said, I'm gonna start reading my Bible every day. Him and his wife, we're gonna read every day. And he's been texting me, just finish Matthew, just finish Mark. Just finish Luke. He keeps texting me, we're going, we're doing it, we're doing it, we're doing it. They're going, they're rock stars. They're going through the books of the Bible, all the New Testament. Every day they're reading, 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 and they're on schedule. They're going to read the whole New Testament in 30 days. Days sometimes they can't read, that's okay. They're making the effort, they're determined. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like unto a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Whoever delights in the law of the Lord will grow and produce like a tree planted by the river of life. I can remember one time Our kids were small, and Todd and Christy invited us to go to Camp Wood. Hey, would y'all want to come and stay the weekend with us in Camp Wood? Yeah, that'd be great. We'll go take the kids and let them swim. Okay, cool. And so we stayed in Granny Chant's house, and we went down to the river. We walked down, and we're walking along, and the adults are talking. The kids are running back and forth, and we go down this little path, and it turns, and you drop down to the river. And there's other people down there swimming here and there. And the kids run out, and we let them frolic in the water. And we get out, and we play around for a while and play in the water. And then it's time to leave. We go back. And as we go back, we had worked our way downstream. So instead of walking back upstream and getting out of the water, we just got out where we were. And then we walked down the bank to where the road goes back up to the house. And we came upon this pecan tree. And this pecan tree was huge. I've never seen a pecan tree. I've seen very, 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 very few trees as big as this pecan tree. I have seen a couple, but very, very few. And if we put our hands all together like this and we went all the way around, we probably couldn't get around it. It was unreal how big this tree was. I was amazed. I've never seen anything like it. This tree has been there since it was a little pecan grew a little sprout, and it's right there within the banks of the river. And it's apparently stayed there long enough through the floods and everything that it became established. And it has gotten so big, it doesn't matter what flood comes through there, it'll never move that tree. It's living off the waters, the river of life there. It's just unbelievable. It's been growing by that river of life for such a long time. And that's the kind of growth that the psalmist is talking about here that we can have. If we continue to delight in the law of the Lord, we can have that kind of spiritual growth that is mountainous growth. We can have monumentous growth if we will delight in the law of the Lord. I believe one of the biggest problems that we face is that we fail to let go of the things of the world. Those things that entice us or encourage us to stay. 1 Peter chapter 2 verses 1 and 2, we're told that we're to lay these things aside. That is to put them down and move on. Wherefore laying aside, 1 Peter 2 verse 1 and 2, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Paul in many of his teachings uses a comparison, if you will, of the Olympic Games, of runners, and the race is for the strong, and he uses that for all run for the prize and on. Since that is a viable illustration, I would like to use the illustration of perhaps a weightlifter. There are various forms of weightlifters. There are some that go and they lift weights for certain reasons. You think about this, the bodybuilder. We all seen the bodybuilder, and he's got these poses, and he poses, and he is an artist who is concerned with every single muscle on his body. He can tell you how many muscles are in his neck, and his shoulder, and his arms, and his legs, and his chest, and every single muscle. And he's concerned with every single muscle because he wants to accentuate each and every muscle. I've got to work this right here because I've got a low spot there. I've got to work that and make it where every muscle shows. As I mentioned, he's an artist that when he's finished, his body looks like a sculpture, right? And so he's fascinated with that, or concentrated on that. It takes a lot of concentration and determination. Many say that this man is not strong because he's all looks. That's all he does. He's not really strong. But you can't build muscle without building strength. So you have to do strength training. So that's been proved to be false. But he's not as strong as the next type, and that's the strength trainer. This is the guy who just wants to get strong and he wants to stay strong. He lifts low reps of really heavy weights, and he just goes, I'm going to go to the gym and I'm going to do three sets of five instead of five sets of 30. And so he lifts really, really heavy weights, low reps, and it takes dedication and determination for that too. And then there's the power lifter. He's not so concerned with how many reps he can do or how bulked up he is. In fact, these guys don't even look like weightlifters. They look more like overweight farmers. But don't let them fool you. They are the guys that are incredibly strong. They are the guys that when they go to competitions, they lift engines from cars. They lift a car engine, they throw it over their back. They're extremely strong. They're just big, big, strong guys. Have you ever seen those competitions where they pick up a certain amount of weight and they throw it down, they move on to a heavier one, heavier one, heavier. It just gets heavier and heavier. They're power lifters. That's all they're all about that. Now you think about this. What do all these guys have in common? Why would this illustration fit a sermon on growth? None of them became what they are by accident. Whether you're a cross-country runner, whether you're a bodybuilder or a power lifter, it didn't happen by accident. They all grew strong by focusing on their goal and not turning from it. I'm sure you've all seen these guys. Now, I want you to think of the big-chested bodybuilder, the guy that's at the gym all the time. I want you to think about that guy for a second. The biggest one you've ever seen. I want you to picture him in your mind. The big chest, the big old thighs, his neck as big as my waist. He's a big guy. Now, keep that picture in your mind. He's polished to perfection. That is, except one thing. His arms are about as big around as your wrist. Think about what that guy would look like if his arms from the shoulder to the hand were as big around as your wrist all the way down. Big old chest, big leg, big, and he's got the big old broad shoulders, but his arms are skinny, like olive oil. That's a funny picture, right? Oh, he just didn't like arm day. It would really be hard to get all your muscles that big without your arms, but just for illustration purposes, let's think about that. It would look funny, but that's exactly what many people will look like when they get to heaven. Having grown their bodies, their intellect, their social media, their friends list, everything about them is grown and polished to perfection, but their spirituality is frail and skinny like olive oil's arms. Never having cared to grow spiritually, they will stand before the judgment ashamed and embarrassed because none of those other things matter. Nothing else matters. Now ask yourself this. Am I that person with the underdeveloped arms spiritually? Am I the person with the underdeveloped spirituality? And if I am, what do I need to do to change it? The message is yours. Won't you come while together we stand and sing the song that's been selected?